Hey, this is RJ Sullivan talking at you from the Me and Reading blog, part of the Haunting Obsession blog tour. I want to thank them and also thank Seven Star Press for setting up this tour as always. Today I have one of the superstars on the Team RJ team, and that is Dr. Deborah Holland, who has been my primary writing peer since 2001, actually. I remember that because it was a few months before 9/11, so that's how I'm able to kind of bring that top of mind. So it's been over a decade that we've been working together. So how are you doing today, Deborah?
I'm doing great. I just had a book launch yesterday, which was really exciting, so I'm still reverberating from that.
I know. It's been a great year for the both of us. We're definitely going to get into that a bit more. For those who don't, well, most people out there probably don't know, but Deborah and I are mutual fans of a science fiction author named Kathy Tyers, and we originally started talking to each other through the Yahoo group fan site for her. I don't remember the exact first conversations, but we quickly discovered that we were both writing science fiction. She also was writing a lot of romance, and at some point we just started trading manuscripts back and forth on a fairly regular basis. And at that time, Deborah was a part of a writing group that had a lot of professionally published writers. Isn't that correct, Deborah?
Yeah, that was more so that some were professionally published and some were still in the learning phase, but they were all more advanced writers, and we were with an actual teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be slash critique group as well as learning.
Right.
So I got a very deep involvement in learning the craft of writing.
And at that point, you had not had any professional publications, and you had not won any awards at that point.
I had a little bit of nonfiction things published. Obviously, I had my dissertation published. I had a few articles, but no, other than that, that was it.
Okay, and that reminds me, the reason that I call her Dr. Deborah is, go ahead and tell them what you do for a living.
Well, I'm a psychotherapist and a corporate crisis counselor. So I have a master's degree in marriage and family counseling and a PhD in counseling psychology.
And she lives in the Los Angeles area. So we have known each other for over a decade and we've never actually met. It's been strictly emails and sending files back and forth and all that sort of thing. And you're one of the reasons that I always say writing is not really as isolated as people think, especially in this day and age. You can be in touch with a wide range of people who are in your corner and backing you the whole way, and that's really how I feel you and I work together.
Well, I feel like we've become dear friends, and even though we've never met, and that just shows you that friendship is more than meeting each other's physical presence.
Right.
Support and encouragement, and sometimes tough love.
Yeah, right. Well, that's very true. That's something that writers have to give each other on a fairly regular basis, and you know, without getting too much into it, you were first getting your fiction manuscripts out there. I was, after showing you Haunting Blue, I found I pretty much had to sit down and start the whole thing over again because I was relearning the craft after a while, and the several short stories. And my recollection is that process went very quickly for the both of us for a while. And then when did you win your first award?
My first book, Wild Montana Sky, we won the Romance Writers of America Golden Heart Award in 2001.
Oh, it was in 2001, so it wasn't that long after we had started working together.
Right.
Okay. And for those that don't know, explain what the Golden Heart is.
Well, it's Romance Writers of America, which is a very large writers organization of about 10,000 romance writers. Has a very prestigious contest, one for the unpublished, which is called the Golden Heart, and that one for the published authors, which is called the Ritas. And so to win the Golden Harp is a very big deal in the writing community, at least the romance writing community.
Would it be fair to say that there's a reasonable expectation not too long after you win a Golden Harp that that particular piece, something should happen to it in terms of publication, that there's a certain expectation that it should see publication before too much longer?
Yes, and that was sort of discouraging. In one respect, it was good because it very much validated my ability as a writer and that I really did have something there. And I was able to get an agent on the strength of the Golden Harp win.
Yes.
And I had so many people say, okay, publishing is right around the corner for you. And I really thought that was true.
And to repeat, this is 2001, people. Go ahead.
So, unfortunately, my book was, it's called Considered Sweet, which means it's not a sexy romance. And about the same time, the market changed. And sexy started becoming more and more popular. And historical also changed. And my book's a historical Western romance, sort of like a Little House on the Prairie kind of romance. So right. It was no longer fitting the marketplace.
And for those... And to clarify, you were writing those. You were also writing fantasy. One of my personal favorites of yours is called Withia's Way, which is part of a trilogy, right?
Yes, except the modern title, the newer title, is called Sower of Dreams.
That's
the bigger book
that's
that right. I made it into is Sower of Dreams, and the trilogy is called The God's Dream.
Which is very much in the spirit of Andre Norton. In fact, Andre Norton had a chance to see the manuscript shortly before she died and said some very positive things about it, as I recall.
Yeah, she gave me an endorsement, which is probably one of the last books that she ever did endorse. And
which was amazing to me. I was like, "You're gonna write Andre Norton, and she's gonna write you back." And then she did. So that shut my mouth, you know, right away. And then had really positive things to say about it. So it just goes to show. But what I was trying to emphasize is, you're writing fantasy. You had some science fiction you were writing. I wasn't just looking at her romance, guys. So she's talented on a number of different levels, and that's not downing romance, because we're going to jump ahead here. Certainly, those skills that you brought to Haunting Obsession, I think, have a lot to do with why the book works as well as it does, but it's just not a genre that I would choose to read for fun, and also certainly not over the past 10 years exclusively to help a friend. Although I have read a lot of her romance, and I do enjoy it, and I'd like to think I bring some valuable opinions every now and again to it. But it's Withia's Way is one, or excuse me, Sower of Dreams is one of my favorites. You got an agent. Through that, I got an agent, and
that was my first agent. The agent that you and I had in common was my second agent.
Oh, okay. So, for a time, it was really weird because the industry was changing so much. It didn't seem like, you know, it was one of those things you were supposed to be able to get an agent, and then things were supposed to happen so fast, but nobody could make anything stick or land or anything, because that was when it seemed like publishers just completely shut down for so many different reasons, and people look back on it now, and I hear a lot of speculation. But at the time, it was a really frustrating time to be a writer, where you felt like you were right on the edge and something should be happening, and it just wasn't. So,
I know we had an agent who believed in us, and she was a really good agent in that she was a great editor, and yes. I think she made both of our work stronger.
I think that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, though, nothing could land for either of us, and then that was about the time when the small press self-publishing options really opened up, and I think it's fair to say I went the small press route while you went the self-publishing route, and we both have had success in our different areas, but talk about your self-publishing experiences.
Well, I started at the end of April in 2011. I self-published my first two of the Montana Sky series, Wild Montana Sky and Starry Montana Sky. And one of my friends had self-published her books about 6 months before, actually maybe 9 months before me, and she was doing really well. And she, at one point, she wrote me and she said, I'm making $3,000 a month from my self-published books. And at the time, I was right in the middle of the deadline from Powell for my grief book, Essential Guide to Grief and Grieving. I'd gotten a contract at the 5 month deadline. So I was frantically writing the book, and I said to myself, I want to earn $3,000 a month for my self-published books. And I
told myself
that as soon as the grief book was over, I was going to do that. So once I had turned the book in, and before I got my revisions back, I did a read-through of both books. And I had, in the meantime, I had commissioned the covers, which my friend Del Jacobs made to my specifications. And they turned out fantastic. And then I paid someone to format the books. And then I put them up on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble. And to my huge surprise, it wasn't too long before they started to do well. And by
do well, explain where at least one of them ended up before too long.
A year later, actually 11 and a half months later, Wild Montana Sky made the USA Today list.
Right.
And I ended up also self-publishing the first two books in the fantasy series, and the first book in the science fiction or space opera book, and as well as in January, I did book three in the Montana Sky series. So the total from all of those books, I sold about 97,000 books.
Wow.
In a year. That was about, I don't know, I haven't counted lately, but about 140,000 or so.
And I hear people going, oh, wow, self-publishing, I should do that. But I want to back up and I want to emphasize, and you let me know if you agree. Your books have been thoroughly vetted, and, you know, several of those had won awards of different sorts. And, I mean, you went through the craft, you went through the revisions, you went through the editing. I think that's an important point. Besides the fact that you were writing in romance, which does sell well in some self-published markets, but I mean, this isn't like you just sat down, wrote it, and put it out there to self-publish it, because I do think that's a distinction I want to make with your story.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people are doing that, and they're giving the whole self-published book market a bad name, because there are a lot of bad books out there, but there's also a lot of really good books out there, and they've been making lots of self-published friends and reading their books and just marveling at books that New York turned down, and here mm-hmm. they are reading them, and they're great. So there's both.
There's no question that for whatever reason, and you'll hear a thousand theories, but the main publisher shut down on anything that wasn't a surefire bestseller. And you can blame the economy, you can blame Harry Potter, I've heard people point to that and other things, that it set the bar so high that nobody was interested in mid-list authors. I mean, there's a lot of talk, but the bottom line is publishers weren't buying for a while a lot of books that probably were fairly worthy for whatever reason. But your story's not over there. Then what happened more recently?
Before I go on, I want to make a point, which was, you know, all those years of disappointments and rejections.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Now I'm so very grateful for those rejections. So happy I ever published any place else, and my journey has been the way it has, and I really do attribute that to, you know, a belief in a higher power that I've been guided through this, and that God basically said, no, wait, and sure enough, things happen.
There you go.
So last January, I got an email from Lindsay Buzzardo, who's an editor at Amazon Motley. Amazon has started their own traditional publishing company, and Motley is their romance division. And she said that she read Wild Montana Sky, and she loved it, and she wanted to acquire the series. And instead of being ecstatic that an editor has approached me to buy the series, I was actually ambivalent, because at the time, beginning of January, I was making about $5,000 a month on the books. And I really didn't want to give that up. I sort of wanted to give up control. So so I did a lot of quick research on Montlake and emailed everybody I knew who had already signed with them, and got a very favorable opinion that that Amazon truly was trying to be author friendly, and it was, they were truly trying to be a different kind of publishing company. So I wrote her back and I agreed to talk to her. And it was very interesting and different, I think, talking to her as a successful self-published author rather than as an unpublished author.
Right.
What I said to her was things like, I love my covers, I wouldn't want to change my covers. She says, oh no, I love your covers too. We keep them, we just polish them up. I said, I don't want to change the titles. She says, oh no, I love your titles. But I said, you know, I know I have a very strong vision for the series. I know what my next books are. And I don't want someone telling me, that's not your next hero, that's not your next hero, and that's not your next book. Because it is. And I said, doesn't mean I won't get editorial direction, but I'm very clear about what my books are going to be. And she says, no, she said, I will respect your vision. She said, it's working.
There you go.
And she said the magic words, which were, we know where the historical romance readers are. And I'm like, you're right. I'm in.
Right.
And so...
And to be clear, for those that don't know, Amazon has recently stepped up and entered into the directly challenging the big six publishers and putting themselves out there as a seventh option. Maybe I'm off by a number or two, but they're putting themselves, positioning themselves as a mass paperback producing entity on the shelves at your box bookstores along with the others, and this is a fairly new venture for them, which you've kind of gotten in on the ground floor of. Is that a fair statement? So it just you were right there showing the success where they needed to see it, and they made you an offer.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the ironic thing was the day that I had the final version of the contract, I did hire a entertainment lawyer to go over it.
Right.
And I had the final version of my contract on my desk. I hadn't yet signed it. And I got an email from one of the big six editors, big six publisher, and she said she wanted to acquire the series. So I wrote her back and I said, well, I've got a contract to Amazon sitting on my desk. I haven't signed it yet, so I'll talk to you. And so she calls me up and made me an offer, which was not as good as Montlake's. And it was actually a little bit amusing how much she didn't know about self-publishing and how well I was doing, and
there you go,
and what the offer was, and so when I said no, she said, oh, I'm so disappointed, and she said, actually, your editor's going to be so disappointed too, because she told me she really wanted to acquire the series. And I had the opportunity to say, wow, she did have her chance.
Right.
An agent sent it to her a few years ago and she rejected it.
There you go. Wow.
That was like one of the best moments, really. That's the fun. I'm like, yes.
And you know, I couldn't have timed this any better, because when did these books come out?
They came out yesterday.
Well, yesterday. This going up Saturday, that means Tuesday. So, 4 days ago.
Yesterday meaning Tuesday, yes.
Yes, they came out just this past Tuesday for the first time on that publishing site. And they're available in bookstores now then?
Yes.
Okay.
They're available on Amazon, obviously, in print and in Kindle.
Right.
And in Barnes & Noble, you can order the print versions, or you can get the app for your Nook, or you can get an app for your Kindle app for the Nook, or the Kindle app for the iPad.
Right.
And order it through Amazon that way.
And that is just... So incredibly awesome to have seen in the last decade, you know, how your journey has gone into be getting the regular updates and being kind of the cheerleader behind it, and then we're both kind of hitting at the same time. So let me just say congratulations on all that. It's well deserved. While we're talking about that, is there anything more with Sower of Dreams or your sci-fi? Well, do you think you'll be throwing that out there maybe eventually?
Yes, I think the problem is with like so many books and so little time kind of thing, and I do want to finish book three in the trilogy, and I think once I do that, it's going to take off. Although, interestingly enough, it's doing very well today, and so I've sold more books today than I ever have, or doubled more than I ever have.
Huh, I wonder why that might be. Let me think.
Well, I think it's twofold. One, because of Montlake pushing my other books, and
sure.
Two, because a friend who I swapped chapters with, I have her... my chapters in the back of her book and vice versa, has been doing some promotion today, so that she paid for. So I think that is coming think both of those are sort of making a difference. But I'm working on another Montana Sky book, and then I'm going to switch over to finish the funnel in the Bad Dream series.
Well, that is incredibly cool. So check her out, guys. She's really good.
Thank you.
I want to talk about, well, just in summary, you've seen my various drafts from the very beginning all the way through to where we are now. I've never asked you this question before, but when you started getting pages for Haunting Obsession, did you have any kind of an impression, or was this just like, oh, it's more stuff from RJ, or did you notice anything kind
of? Of course, it was more stuff from RJ, but, you know, it's an interesting story. It's a different story. It was nice to work on a different story with you, and instead of the Haunting Blue Stories, which I like those stories too.
Sure.
And so I felt like it was good to be able to, you know, flash and burn for you.
Yeah, and it went very fast. I don't know how it felt like I was sending you something like every other week with new chapters and all, but certainly it having a sensual content in there where I was a little more uncomfortable with what I was writing about, and not that your stuff is necessarily steamy, but I thought you were really able to kind of keep it in line as to where it maybe got a little bit out of line, or maybe added a few things that worked with my vision, but enhanced it, made it work better. And I think
we put a slight bit of romance in, and we took out some of the
right, the manly stuff.
Monty stuff.
Yeah. No, I said.
We left some in though. Don't worry, we left some
in. Well, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, it seems like I have this insight into the woman's brain, and I always kind of make it out like I'm so magical and mystical, but I think you're probably really my secret weapon there. I don't let too many people know that, but...
Well, I think it helps you that you're happily married, and that makes a difference.
Sure, right. Well, thank you so much. I think that's pretty much all I have to go over for this interview, but one other thing is, besides all the fiction you briefly mentioned, that you have a nonfiction book out as a psychologist. Go ahead and plug that real quick, and we'll wrap up.
Well, it's called The Essential Guide to Grief and Grieving, and it's to help people for when they're experiencing losses. And it doesn't matter; it's not just bereavement, although a big chunk of the book is about bereavement, but it's also about loss of a job, loss of a home, loss of a pet. You know, those kind of things that sort of teaches you about grief, teaches you how to support somebody else who is grieving, and what to say and what not to say, and how to help yourself on your journey.
It's a really, really excellent book, because I did look at a lot of chapters as you were working on it. You were under a really tight deadline on that guy.
Think about that.
Yeah, it was a fabulous read for anybody that needs that kind of advice. I mean, it's not something you would just run out and buy on your own, but I mean, anybody in that situation, it really looks at it from every angle and gives some really positive, encouraging advice in what seems like the most bleak of times. So I think it's a very valuable tool. So those who have need of it should check that one out as well. But just want to say thank you for being in my corner all these years. It's been a great journey so far, and I think the best is yet to come, and I'm looking forward to see what's happening next.
I think we both have really exciting futures when it comes to our writing careers, and who knows, let's start again in a year, and we'll be able to have another conversation and say,
yeah,
it's happening.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it face-to-face, and we'll have video to prove it or something. It could happen.
Yeah, because... have all this extra money, can afford it.
That's right, yeah. Well, I want to thank Me and Reading for hosting this recording, and thank you everybody for listening this far, and we've got some exciting stuff coming up ahead, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Okay.